What do we got today? Some miracle of science, a little hardcore robotics meets interplanetary gut check, some decent luck, and humanity has a, quote, nice flat spot on Mars.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars.
Oh, boy, there is the by now heroic and familiar sound of scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory exhaling very loudly after confirming that Curiosity, the roving Earthling laboratory, is ready for work in a flat crater on the Martian equator. Who could resist a little victory lap? Not Obama's science advisor, John Holdren, who witnessed the landing events in Pasadena, California.
If anybody has been harboring doubts about the status of U.S. leadership in space, well, there's a one-ton automobile-sized piece of American ingenuity on the, that is, and it's sitting on the surface of Mars right now, and it should certainly put any such doubts to rest.
At a price tag of $2.5 billion, that's less than your average financial mistake by one of the big banks in the U.S. The Curiosity rover is the most expensive and perhaps most ambitious Mars probe in our generation. Joining us here in the studio is Arlen Krotz, astronomy professor at Columbia University, and Tariq Malik, managing editor at space.com. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Man, I wish we had some champagne, eh?
Yes, quite a feat.
Pretty exciting. Let's begin with the ingenuity of actually the touchdown itself. How did that, I mean, it was not testable here in the gravity of Earth.
Or the atmosphere.
Or the atmosphere, right, exactly. So how did they do it? Anybody want to begin?
Well, it's a new system. It's the sky crane system that sort of has edged out the airbag system.
Right.
And it's very complicated. I heard that there were 80, I believe, pyrotechnic explosions that all had to go off on time perfectly. And it involved all sorts of new rockets. And instead of the thing bouncing along the surface, it's gently laid onto the surface by this rocket hanging in the air.
Tariq, if I was sitting in a chaise lounge or something in the crater there as a Martian, what would I have seen?
Well, you would have seen nothing for a while. And then out of nowhere, you would see this one-ton flying ship basically fly up, hover for what seemed like hardly any time at all, lower down from about 60 feet up or so, a car, and then boom, 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 the cables snap off, the thing zooms off and crashes, and you've got this six-wheeled contraption facing you.
And so what is this contraption doing right now, Tariq?
Well, right now, it's sitting there. It's looking around. It has 17 cameras on it. And what they're doing is they're snapping pictures. They're making sure that the systems are all working. They're getting passes from orbiting spacecraft on Mars to basically say that it's healthy. And they're slowly going to boot up all the systems. It's going to raise a mast that has really high-powered cameras on it and take a look around. The pictures so far are great. They're looking for amazing.
Mm-hmm. Tariq Malik, who's a managing editor at space.com. Arlen Krotz, astronomy professor at Columbia University. This is, I guess you scientists like to say, this is an order of magnitude higher complexity, this mission,
yes,
than the little lunar rovers that were so famous a few years back. There's also an infrastructure that's in place around Mars in the form of orbiting communication satellites. Describe, first of all, how much bigger this thing is, how much more capability it has, and how much it's able to interact with other things that we've sent to Mars.
Yeah, well, there are five craft on the surface or orbiting Mars, but this one is bigger than all the rovers that have been put on Mars combined.
Wow.
And so there are 10 instruments on board. They're designed to look for more the biochemical signatures of life than in the past. We did that on Viking, but we got some ambiguous results. So that's what they're going for. It's a very special place in terms of being able to look for old biological activity.
And that would consist of carbon compounds, that would consist of, I mean, what specific signatures are they looking for?
Yeah, I mean, various organic compounds. I mean, they're looking for the precursors of life, but they also might be looking for the byproducts of life. And they might be looking for layers of carbon or something like that that could have been laid down by previous biological activity.
Tarek Malik, what's more important to NASA this morning, whether there has ever been life on Mars or whether Mars could actually support human life if a NASA mission actually decides to send human beings there?
It's a little bit of both, but what we heard today from the NASA administrator himself was that this mission here is basically one of the big steps forward to having footprints on Mars. So it seems like there is an eye towards what can we use there? You know, can it support us when we go? That type of thing. It is in the president's vision to have astronauts on there in the 2030s. It seems like they're really geared towards that right now. They do want to know the history, but they also want to know what the future might be like.
What's the obsolescence of this Curiosity lab, Arlen? Is this something that's going to last? They say the mission will go for 2.5 years. The little rovers lasted much, much longer than their warranty. What's the potential here for this lab?
Well, I read that the design lifetime was 1 year, but the design lifetime on Opportunity was 90 days, and it's gone now. We're in our ninth year, I think,
wow.
Now. So, you know, the end is open. I mean, there are satellites in orbit that have been operating for 20 years. One of them in orbit around Mars has been going for a decade. So it's as long as they can keep it going.
Why this particular crater?
Well, it is a strange crater. It looks like it's filled with strata that may have been laid down by a longtime residence of water. And in that situation, you probably want to look for layers of life, too, or at least chemicals that could have supported life.
So if this crater was a seabed and, you know, there's some sort of sediment that was at the bottom of the sea, it might tell the story of what happened to Mars?
Yeah, it's at very low elevation, so all sorts of flows into it could have brought information from other areas, but mainly if it's liquid water, that's where you want to look for life.
Talking with Arlen Crotch, astronomy professor at Columbia University, and Tarek Malik, who's managing editor at space.com. Lots of people, Arlen, shared in the touchdown experience along with those scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Describe what was available.
Oh, well, I was at Times Square, and it was amazing to see at least 1,000 people just out watching one of the big screens, and it was a lot of cheering going on.
And how connected do you think people are in the United States to the Mars mission in general? We certainly saw the extraordinary success of the small little rovers and how the internet allowed people to really experience that firsthand. Are we going to see more of that?
Well, I think there's a hardcore of, I don't know, tens of millions of people that would just die to get into space and want to see whatever they can. I think a lot of people are following or not. But now I think that there'll be more presence on the internet with this mission than in the past. But, I think that's, in my opinion, something that we should ramp up even more.
In terms of selling the program to Americans who are paying for it.
Yeah, I think that one thing we should design into future exploration missions is basically a "you are there" kind of component that would be really good, say, on the moon, where you have only a 3-second delay in time between what's going on here and what's going on there.
Tarek Malik, the science here is an unusual mix of terror and just absolute joy. I mean, in the sense that so many of the scientists had spent 8 years working on this, and if it had burned up in the atmosphere or smashed against a rock, that would be a total loss.
Yeah, it was a win that NASA really seemed to need, especially this year. They've had proposed budget cuts with planetary exploration, especially Mars, and this is the big Mars mission for the foreseeable future. There's an orbiter on the books that's coming, but nothing as big or as bold as this was, and it was amazing. Just pop, pop, pop all the way down. Everything was flawless, and when they rolled out this whole plan to drop this thing down with a sky crane and rockets and, you know, the biggest everything going there, I thought, this isn't going to work. And in fact, you could hear people say, I can't believe it worked in the broadcast. I mean, these guys poured 8 years into it, and it showed. They got everything right, and it's amazing.
How autonomous is this vehicle on the surface of Mars? I mean, the computer controlled this amazing landing. I mean, there was nothing the scientists could do. They just had to watch and just let the digital components do their work. How autonomous is this vehicle going to be now doing the exploration?
Now, in comparison with Mars rovers of the past, it is the most autonomous vehicle that they can build. They learned a lot from the previous rovers, basically developing software that lets them use cameras to avoid hazards, avoid pitfalls. All of that is built into this one, so it's the most advanced one that they've got. They're going to probably spend the first few months making sure that all those systems work right before they say, you know, drive 10 feet on your own, and we won't bother you. But if that all tests out, I mean, they're going to be able to make some ground pretty quickly.
And the Curiosity has to make it to this mountain that's on mm-hmm. the horizon somewhere inside this crater.
Yeah, it's a rather unique situation. It looks like there's strata from maybe previous water deposition of minerals going up the side of this hill. So it's like the Grand Canyon in that respect. They'll be able to look at how things changed over the eons, about 3.5 billion years at least of Martian history.
Do people, you know, need to pay attention to a possible headline, life on Mars confirmed? Is that how it's going to happen, or is it going to be much more gradual, filling in the pieces of a puzzle on the organic properties of Mars?
I think we could luck out. I mean, it has the capability of hitting a home run. It definitely has the capability of seeing if it's consistent with life. We don't know what Martian life is like. It could be very different than what's on Earth. It could be far underground. If it doesn't find life, that doesn't mean there isn't life there.
But at this point, we're already out of the fiasco zone. There's no way this is going to end up like the movie John Carter.
Yeah. I mean, I should point out that, you know, NASA does very good, but it only has a 70% success rate at Mars. Other space programs have like a 10%.
Really?
Yeah.
So the Jet Propulsion Laboratory is a national treasure, unquestionably. And here's Charles Bolden describing, again, this terrifying landing that could not be tested and, in fact, was tested successfully this morning.
Curiosity's final descent was dubbed 7 minutes of terror because in its 7-minute trip to the surface, it had to slow down from 13,000 miles an hour to zero. And I think you've heard this before. That's like driving 65 miles an hour on a freeway and coming to a complete stop in about 2.1 seconds.
Actually, it's nothing like being on a freeway at all. It's completely amazing. Would we think, Tariq, that this vehicle is durable because of the punishment it's already gone through, or are there going to be some, you know, broken axles and wrecked solar components?
Well, they did build some durability into this one. It was basically structured so that it could sustain a pretty good jolt on the way down. It seems like it didn't have that. Everything that they've been able to pick up from the readings and the sensors say that it was pretty much just what they expected. In fact, it's almost spot on the landing, it seems. So it seems like when they finish their diagnostics, that it's going to be fine. They can see the wheels. They can see the surface. Everything seems to be working just fine.
We're all on Mars. So what a champagne moment, yeah. Or even more. Arlen and Tariq, congratulations to all of us, I guess, eh?
Oh, I didn't do anything.
Well, humans made it to Mars. Arlen Krautz, astronomy professor at Columbia University. Tariq Malik, managing editor at space.com. Curiosity on the surface of Mars. We got plenty of it here in the studio.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.